This is Shabbos, Parshas Pinchas, Tov Shinun Aleph. So this is a sicha that the Rebbe gave Shabbos, Parshas Pinchas, Tov Shinun Aleph. And looking back in retrospect, it appears that in this sicha the Rebbe was alluding to what was going to happen in Chof Zayin Adar, because the Sikha speaks about the inyan of Dibur, the importance of speech, and how speech is necessary for certainty, and without speech it leaves room for doubt. Sikha is a long Sikha with a lot of details, and we'll see how much we'll be able to cover tonight. Sikha starts that in the Parsha of Pinchas, one of the main things in this Parsha, this week of course is not Parshas Pinchas, but it's Shabbos and Vorchim Ov. That year it was Shabbos and Vorchim Ov. One of the main things of that Parsha, and even though the Sikha, I'm doing the Sikha now because it's not specifically related only to Pinchas, it's a general Heira about our Avodah today. One of the main points in the Parsha is about Nachlas Achlukas Eretz Yisrael, dividing the land to every Shevet, every tribe. So the Rebbe says, as we stand by the threshold of Gula Mitzvah Shlema, as it's obvious from all the signs, and as the Rebbe has been speaking about this more often recently, it's understood that the first thing we should learn from this Parsha is Pashat, the inyan of dividing the land, but Pashtas, literally, as it'll be when Mashiach comes. And that's what dividing the land is. We have to learn from this Parsha lessons on how to divide the land, which is Negeya to us now. But being that we're still in a moment before Geula, it must be that there's also a Heira for that moment, even the moment before the Geula. And the Rebbe tells a story with the Tzemach Tzedek, that a Yid came to the Tzemach Tzedek and he told him that he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael and spend his time learning and davening. And the Tzemach Tzedek told him not to go. And he said to him, why do you need to go to Eretz Yisrael? Magdo Eretz Yisrael. Which means transform your place here into Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to travel there. And being that the Friedrich Rebbe told the story and it became publicized, so therefore it indicates that there's a hero, there's a lesson here for every one of us. And the lesson is that even when you're da means outside of Eretz Yisrael in Chutz Laretz, that's in terms of space. Also da in time, we're in the time of Golus. Nevertheless, we have the power and we're charged with this mission to transform Da into Eretz Yisrael, to transform a place and a time that's outside of Eretz Yisrael, that it should become Eretz Yisrael. And we'll see at the end of the Sikha, the Rebbe says that the Heira, this lesson, he's asking that as soon as Shabbos is over, and you'll be able to publicize this through means which you can't use on Shabbos, naturally telephone and other means, they should publicize this through those means to as much people as possible, the hero of this Sikha. And then the Rebbe adds something which is not very common, quite unusual. The Rebbe says, and you should continue to publicize this hero until Mashiach comes. So it's important to learn the Sikha and publicize the hero in this Sikha. And the Rebbe raises the question, why do we say Magdo Eretz Yisrael? L'chayra. If Apidin, this place is not Eretz Yisrael, and the only place where a person could observe Torah and Mitzvahs in a perfect way, in a complete way, is in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, why is it that when a person is outside of Eretz Yisrael, he has to make it into Eretz Yisrael? You're not there. The Aveda here is an Aveda which is outside Eretz Yisrael. So why is it so important that wherever we are, we have to transform it into Eretz Yisrael? And especially when we're standing in a time now in the last generations, and especially in the last time, and especially in the last recent times, that we see all the simanim, hinei zeba. So what's the hira? Magda Eretz Yisrael. If in another moment we're going to be leaving Golus and we're going to be going there literally, why should we occupy our time with transforming this place into Eretz Yisrael? We're going to the real Eretz Yisrael soon. So Rebbe goes in to explain the whole union of Ach Begerol Yecholik Es Haaretz. This parsha tells us that the way Eretz Yisrael had to be divided was through Gerol, drawing of lots. And one of the words in the Chumash is that the Eretz Yisrael was divided Al Pi HaGerol. Al Pi HaGerol could be interpreted as according to the lots that were drawn. But Chazal tell us, and Rashi brings it down, that because it says Al Pi, and Pi literally means the mouth, that means that HaGerol Hoya Medaber, Hashem made a nes, a very unusual miracle, that the pieces of paper, they themselves spoke. Each piece of paper spoke and said, I am the Gerol, and I represent this and this portion of the land, and I go together with this and this Shevet. In other words, the Gerol spoke and said words that this part of the land belongs to this Shevet. So the Rebbe asked, what was the purpose of such an unusual nest? There's a klal, which means Hashem doesn't make a nes in vain. Every miracle has a purpose. Because generally speaking, Hashem desires to have the world follow the order of nature. So when Hashem does something which is not natural, there has to be a reason for it. Why Hashem chose to go out of the realm of nature. Why would Hashem make such a nes, such an unnatural thing, that the girdle, the piece of paper, was speaking? Being that the lots were drawn, and that was one of the ways in the Beis Hamikdash to indicate what the emes is, so that should have been enough. And the Rebbe adds, even if we were to say that in order to confirm that what came out on the pieces of paper was really emes and really min hashamayim, by the way, now we're learning by the laws of the Beis Hamikdash. So either you learned it already, or you will learn soon, that every single day, one of the ways that they decided how and who should do what, which Kohen, different Kohanim had different Avodas. How did they know which Kohen did which Avoda? It was by drawing of lots, Gerolos. And it was understood that when you draw these lots, it's Min HaShemayim, it's as if the Eibush himself chose and said, this Kohen should do this job, and that Kohen should do that job. And it came through the drawing of the lots. And in fact, there's another sikh where the Rebbe brings from Bisaja Gon that a person who didn't believe in the drawing of the lots, didn't believe in the Gerol, it's as if he doesn't believe in Aseres HaDibros, because it's a major part of Yiddishkeit. That's that famous sikh where the Rebbe draws a parallel between the drawing of the lots and opening a sefer. This is one of the sources of looking for an answer through opening Igris, where the Rebbe makes that connection, that the Psaja Gon says whoever doesn't believe in drawing of lots is like he's denying Aseres HaDibros. So in the Beis Hamikdash, on a daily basis, everything was done through the drawing of the lots, through Gerolos. So here too, they drew the lots, and it showed which Shevet belonged to whom, but there was an addition to that, that alone should have been enough. So to confirm it even more, there was another thing. And that is that Eliezer HaKohen, he had the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim also showed that this Shevet gets this portion of the land, and what the Urim V'Tumim showed us was consistent with what the lots came out to, what the drawings came out to. So we already had clear indication that this is Emes, and it's Min HaShemayim. Why was it also necessary for the speaking? Such a nest that the piece of paper should speak. So in Gimel, this is all on page 696 now, the Rebbe says the following. Even though it was confirmed that the drawing of the lots is emes by the Urim V'Tumim, because that was Baruch HaKodesh, that was like a prophecy, and it said clearly that this portion belongs to this Shevet. But in that case, it comes out that what confirmed which Shevet gets which portion was something else, not the drawing of lots. Being that the Eibishter wanted that the dividing of the land should be based on these drawing of lots, so therefore it was necessary that not only the girdle itself should be the indicator of what belongs to whom, but also the confirmation that this is Minas Shamayim should also come from the girdle itself. So the Eibishter made a ness that the pieces of paper themselves spoke. So in that case, what was it that confirmed that this is really what we need, that this is really truth? The girdle itself. And in that case, what comes out is that everything revolving, everything necessary in order to know which piece of land belongs to which Shevet came from the girdle. So the Rebbe doesn't go into why the girdle. That's another question. Why does Hashem desire that the conquering of Eretz, the dividing the land of Eretz Yisrael should be al pi ha-girdle? But that's just a premise. We see from the Chumash, that's what Hashem wants. Once we know that Hashem wants that the dividing of the land should be by the girdle, then therefore the confirmation also came from the girdle, by the girdle speaking. In Dalid, Rebbe raises another question and says the following. If the girdle itself would have been some sort of a mitzvah, we can understand that it's important that the girdle itself is, in a sense, self-contained. Everything is there. The girdle tells us what, and the girdle confirms. But the mitzvah here was really the dividing of the land. The girdle was only a means to an end. The girdle was only something to help us verify which Shevet has which part of the land. So being that the girdle is not such a significant thing, it's only a means to an end, why is it so important that everything has to come out of this piece of paper? The piece of paper has to show us, the girdle has to show us which Shevet gets which piece of land, and it's important that the piece of paper should confirm which Shevet gets a piece of land. Why is it so important when the girdle itself is not so significant, it's only a means to an end? And here the Rebbe gives an answer which is the key point throughout the whole Sikha, and that is the Rebbe brings sources and examples in Halacha that in Torah, when something is a means to an end, in other words, the end itself is the mitzvah, and this is just a way to get to the mitzvah, but because it's a means to an end of a mitzvah, the means itself becomes a mitzvah. Because this is going to lead to a mitzvah, this itself becomes as important as a mitzvah itself. And therefore the Rebbe says, being that the girdle was necessary in order to verify which Shevet gets which piece of the land, true, the mitzvah itself is dividing the land. So that is simply to know who goes where. The piece of paper is only to verify which Shevet gets what. That's not the mitzvah itself. But because this is necessary in order to do the mitzvah, so the girdle and everything that the girdle showed became a mitzvah, as if to say a mitzvah in itself, and has all the importance of a mitzvah in itself. And therefore, it was again important that everything revolving around dividing the land should come from and out of the girdle itself. As I mentioned before, that after the Rebbe said, after Chavzai and other people look back at the Sikha and consider the Sikha, a Sikha where the Rebbe was alluding to the Chavzai and other, where the Rebbe won't be speaking Sikhas anymore, because the whole Sikha, especially this part, page 700 and 701, when the Rebbe spoke about the importance of the girdle and the speaking, the Rebbe spoke about it in a very strong way, in a very emotional way, how without the speaking, it leaves room for doubt. But here the Rebbe tells the following story. And with this story, the Rebbe explains this concept further in more detail. The Rebbe tells a story that happened once with the Rebbe Rashab. Now the Rebbe Rashab was once Fabrenging, and by the Fabrengen, they sang a niggun. And the Bachram over there was singing the niggun too fast. So the Rebbe Rashab made a comment that he's not pleased by the fact that they're singing so fast, because that shows that they want to get it over with already. So one of the mashpim sitting by the table wanted to defend the Bochrim. So he said, it's true. They do want to get it over with. They want to get over with the singing, and they can't wait to hear the sichas. Like by the Rebbe, they were singing between one sikh and another. So that's when the Rebbe Rashab said that this is inappropriate, it's wrong. And he said the words, as a pnimi, als vosatut liegt er in dem in ganzen. What does that mean? That means that a person who's a pnimi, a person who is a deep person, and a person who does things not superficially but in a deep internal way, wherever he is, he's in there completely. He's totally immersed in that place where he is. In other words, although the singing is only a means to an end, the main thing what we're here for is to hear the sicha. But in order to be able to hear the sicha, the singing is necessary of some sort of preparation. So therefore, one would think it's not important how you sing and how fast you sing, how slow you sing. The main thing is the sicha. The singing is only a preparation. So the Rebbe Rashab said, a real person, a true person, when he's in a certain stage, even though he knows it's only a stepping stone to the next stage, but while I'm here, I should be here completely and totally. And therefore, it was wrong of them to sing the niggun fast, because now you're singing the niggun, sing it properly. In fact, if you don't sing the niggun properly, you're not here properly, then when the next step comes, which is to hear the sicha, you won't be able to hear it properly because you didn't have the preparation that was really necessary. So this is a word that the Rebbe actually spoke about many times, and here in the sicha the Rebbe elaborates on it a lot. Then it brings out this point that in Kedusha and in Yiddishkeit, when a Yid is doing something, many times you have to go through many stages until you get to your objective. You're in stage one, stage two, but it's all to lead you to another place. So while you're in the other stages, which is only, you're only on the way to the ultimate goal, nevertheless, wherever you are, you should be there completely and totally. So therefore, the Rebbe says, this is the reason why the girdle had to speak. Because we know that in Torah mitzvahs, there are three ways of observing mitzvahs. There's certain mitzvahs which are mainly bedibur, speech. Certain mitzvahs are mainly b'machshava, and certain mitzvahs are mainly maisa, action. But nevertheless, all mitzvahs really need all three. When you do a mitzvah, it should involve many. Basically, the average mitzvah, the act is the maisa, the bracha you make over the mitzvah is the dibur, and the thought you have while observing the mitzvah is the machshava. Because when you're doing the mitzvah, you should immerse and you should involve every part of ourselves. So we put our machshav in it, we put our dibur in it, we put our mice in it. We need all three. So the Rebbe says here that this is the thing with the girdle. The girdle, there was mice because it was a piece of paper with words written on it, and you had to draw the lots, so that's mice. There was machshav because thought has to go in when you write pieces of paper and when you choose, but there was no dibur. And in order for it to be complete, you had to have dibur as well. In other words, the girdle was only a stepping stone or a means to an end to divide the land. But wherever you are, you should be there completely. So this avodah of the girdle has to be done completely with machshava, dibur, maisa, thought, speech, and action. That every part of the person should be totally immersed in it. That's the hira that we learn from it. And this is the meaning of the words Magda Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbe goes into a few details here. First of all, going to page 703 now. We know that the only reason why we're in Golis is ultimately to get to Eretz Yisrael. And I said the only reason we're in Golis is to ultimately come to Eretz Yisrael. Golis is chas v'shalom, not the end. It's only Golis is a means to an end. And the only purpose that we're here outside of Eretz Yisrael is to do an avodah which will bring us to Eretz Yisrael. The words Magda Eretz Yisrael means, where the Rebbe explains it, that even when I'm outside of Eretz Yisrael, I'm not there yet, nevertheless, my Aveda is to turn this moment that I'm here outside of Eretz Yisrael, this place that I'm outside of Eretz Yisrael, into Eretz Yisrael. That's the Aveda. Even though it's a means to an end, I'm not there yet. And a person can ask a question. I turn to 704. A person can ask a question. And that is, being that we believe that Mashiach is coming any moment, and we're going out of Golas any moment, what's the point in making this plan, or doing this, or doing that? Imagine they're building a building. Here across the street, we're building a Tzivos Hashem building. What's the point? Mashiach is coming any minute. It'll be a whole different life. Things will be... Why is it necessary to invest so much time and energy? Is this a sign, Chas Hashem, that whoever does it doesn't believe that we're going out of Golas any moment? Or other things that people plan ahead, and some things you have to plan ahead. You have to plan certain things in advance. So does that mean that something's wrong with my Amunah? Because if I have proper Amunah in Mashiach, I wouldn't make those plans. So Rebbe is telling us no. Machda Eretz Yisrael means, even though you know that Mashiach is coming any moment, and Geula is going to be here any moment, and we're just moments away from Geula, Machda means take that moment that's left, being that I'm here now, and wherever I am, I have to be there completely. So now my Aveda is to turn this place and this time that I'm in Eretz Yisrael. Which means even if we would be known, we would be told, from heaven a message would come, and we'd be told that literally we're going out of Golos in 10 minutes. Nevertheless, the Aveda still, there has to be a certain Aveda now, here, while we're here, as long as we're here, the Aveda that's required of the here and the now. And that's Machda Eretz Yisrael. And this is not, Chas V'Shalom, a contradiction or a weakness in the Amunah. On the contrary, by doing that, that hastens yet the union of Geula, because we're doing our Aveda now that's required of us now. So therefore, the Rebbe is saying that in the time we're living in now, on one hand, it's very important to prepare ourselves for Mashiach and to know that we're at the threshold of Mashiach, and Mashiach is coming any moment. On the other hand, it's important to know that even though we're not there yet, and this is a second outside of Geula, we're not here yet, nevertheless, this second, my Aveda is to transform this moment into Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? That means that a person should already begin to prepare themselves and to live Mashiach Dig and live Geula Dig, and as a preparation to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now here the Rebbe also brings a number of heiras, a number of things that answer certain questions. At the bottom of 705, the Rebbe starts like this. Every person has his place in the world. There's a person who's a Baal Esek, his place in the world is business. There are other people, their Aveda is learning. That's Yisachar and Zvulun. In fact, that's the whole idea of dividing the land. Why do the Eibishter make that everyone has a different place in the land? Because each Shevet has a different mission, a different Shlichus. And the Eibishter designates for each Shevet the part of Eretz Yisrael that's conducive for that Shevet to do its unique Aveda. So every person has his place and his Aveda and his Shlichus. And therefore, when we find ourselves in a certain place, Begashmias, that's because this is the shlichus of my neshama, so I'm living in this country, in this city, and in this place. If I find myself in a specific time, it's also because my shlichus is this time, not 200 years ago, not 100 years ago. That's why I'm here right now. In fact, the Rebbe says every day has a certain shlichus, and every hour has a certain shlichus, every second has a certain shlichus, and every time in history has its shlichus and its aveda. So somebody could think, what would have been if I would have been in a different place and in a different time? My Aveda would have been better, would have been different, and perhaps better than it is now. And I guess we can add, not only someone thinks, but probably most people think like that. Most people are always thinking about what would have been, and also giving Hashem ideas how it could have been, if I would have been in a different place and a different time and a different Aveda, it would have been so much better. Or another question that a person raises and says, my Aveda is in a very small little corner in this world. And in this little corner, it's also in a detail of a detail. So what's the big difference if I do my Aveda or I don't? It's just such a small, minute detail in a huge picture that's enormous, the whole world, the whole universe. And especially if we're thinking about bringing Mashiach, and that's supposed to change the whole world, how could I expect that what I'm doing will make that difference? So the Rebbe is saying this is the meaning of the words Magda Eretz Yisrael. Magda Eretz Yisrael means don't think about what would have been had I been in a different place, or in the past, or what would have been had I lived in a different country, and had I would done a different Aveda. But a person should focus on where I am now, and where I find myself now, and what is it that I have to deal with now. This is my shlichus, and my Aveda is to make Eretz Yisrael out of this specific place that I have to deal with. And if I make that place that I have to deal with into Eretz Yisrael, that'll bring Eretz Yisrael, that'll bring Gula for the whole world. And one of the reasons for this is, the Rebbe says, is because the truth is, just like with the Shvatim, each Shevet did their Aveda in their part of the land. It says that every part of Eretz Yisrael included in it all the other parts. Every Shevet lived in a certain Chelik of Eretz Yisrael, but it says that the whole Eretz Yisrael, even though each part of the land had a specific Maila, nevertheless, every part of the land has in it, and it's like the idea of a skalul, is that everything has everything else in it. Every part of the land has the amilus of the other parts in it as well. And therefore, when a Yid does his Aveda in the part of the Eretz Yisrael, which is a mountain, it doesn't only affect the mountains, it affects the other parts of the land as well. And the same thing is now Beruchnius, that every one of us should be thinking and is responsible to think of what's the Aveda that I have in my Daladamis, in my little corner, in my little Shlichus. And if I do the Aveda in my place, in my Shlichus, that is going to affect the whole world. But I don't have to think about everything else. I have to think and focus just on Magda Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, we're taking the words of the Rebbe, the words of the Tzemach Tzedek, and the Rebbe is interpreting in the following way. Magda Eretz Yisrael means take a place that's outside of Eretz Yisrael and transform it. But the Deek is also Da, meaning no matter where you are, wherever that place is, no matter how insignificant it appears to be, you can transform it into make it into Eretz Yisrael. And basically, with these three things in mind, that regardless of what could have been, if I would have been somewhere in the past in a different time, perhaps, or if I would have been in a different country now, or also thoughts about the future, all these thoughts only interfere with me doing my Aveda now. And Bechlal, this is a Herod, the Rebbe explains that this is negated to a lot of Inyanim. The Rebbe told a story that one time when the Friedeker Rebbe was being called for interrogation, I don't think this is with Yud Beis Tammuz, as we know the Friedeker Rebbe was arrested 7 times. And Yud Beis Tammuz was the 7th and the most severe. All the other times he was arrested perhaps for a day, it was brief. And a number of these times he was also called for interrogation and they didn't arrest him at the end. So seemingly one of those times where they were calling him for interrogation, the Rebbe saw that the Friedeker Rebbe is sitting and writing a letter to a chassid, answering one of the chassid's questions. And the Rebbe said, this is by Verbrengen, he said, so I said to my father-in-law, I forgot the word, atgedei kach, in other words, here he's going to interrogation to the KGB, and we know what this involves, so it's such a serious thing that's negated to his life. And to the chassidim, certainly it requires a tremendous amount of concentration, so how is he able to sit and write a letter to someone in such a time? And the Friedeker Rebbe answered the Rebbe that gave the example of the Rashba. Rashba was one of the Rishonim, and he was considered one of the greatest of his generation. And he had a lot of Zdorim. He had Zdorim in Gemara. He had Zdorim. He was very big in Kabbalah. He was also a doctor. And he went through certain details of what his Seder was on a daily basis. He used to write responsa. He wrote Shilas and Tshuvas. And the question is, if you look at all these things, how is it possible for one person to do all these different things? And the Friedrich Rebbe answered, because he had Hatzlocha in Zman. What does Hatzlocha in Zman mean? Hatzlocha in Zman means that he was able to accomplish in a little bit of time what it takes other people to accomplish in a lot of time. And the reason is because when people have a lot of different responsibilities, the reason why they can't accomplish it all is not only because it's a lot, but more than anything else is because they can't give full concentration to whatever they're doing. Because when they're doing one thing, they're thinking about the other 18 things that they have to do. And when they do the other thing, they're thinking about the other 17 things they have to do. And there's nothing that they can do with a full head, full concentration, and give it all they got. However, if a person does something, and while they do it, they're able to immerse themselves totally into it as if all the other things don't exist, then they'll be very successful, that in a little bit of time, they'll be able to accomplish so much more. That's the Taich Hatzlocha in Zman. And perhaps it's similar to the English expression, quality time. That it's a little bit of time, but the amount you can accomplish in that little bit of time is amazing, and that is because you're totally in it and you're totally there where you are. I remember hearing a similar thing, or seeing this written story about the Friedrich Rebbe. Before the Friedrich Rebbe became the principal, became the Rebbe, he was the principal of Yeshivas Tem Chitvim. And when he was the principal, he used to fabreng with the Bochrim. And one time he fabreng specifically about the older students. These students were students who, for whatever reason, weren't able to get an exemption from going to the army. So instead of going to yeshiva at age 18, they ended up in the army, and they were there for a few years. And naturally, when they came out of the army, they didn't want to have a little bit of yeshiva. So they came to the yeshiva to learn there for a few months, for a year. But when they came out of the army, they were 25, 26. And a lot of these students, they didn't really succeed in growing the way one should and the one would being in Tom Chitmim. So the Friedrich Rebbe was forbringing about these Bochrim, and he said that many people think that the reason why these students didn't really achieve spiritually what other students achieve is because they came at such a point in their life, and therefore they didn't have enough time to learn. They learned less time, less years than other Bochrim. So other students learned 4 or 5 years, and they only learned in the yeshiva a half a year. But that's not really the reason. The reason is because they come at this age, so therefore when they're in the yeshiva learning, they're already thinking about the time when they're going to go out of yeshiva. And that's why they're not successful. But if a bachur would come into yeshiva, and when he goes into the yeshiva, he would think, here I am, and he would be in that state of mind as if, here's where I was born, I was here my entire life, and this is where I'm going to be for the rest of my life, forever and ever, even one day would have the power to transform the bachur. In other words, it's the state of mind that when you come for that day, you're there in such a permanent way, in such a complete way, in such a total way, as if you were there for years and you'll be there for years, then one day can accomplish the same. So this is the concept of a panimi, that wherever you are, even if you know that you're in a transition, so to speak, but right now I'm here for these few months, or right now I'm here for these few days, or right now I'm here for these 10 minutes, while I'm here, to be here completely, and then you'll be able to accomplish so much more. It's understood how every yid has the responsibility to bring the Geula for the entire world, because when he does his Aveda in a complete way with thought, speech and action, and even if he does his Aveda in a detail of a detail, it's only something that he does that affects one moment and one little place in the whole universe. Nevertheless, he has the power to transform that moment and that place into Eretz Yisrael. Reminds me, by the way, of another thing. The Rebbe very often would quote something the Rebbe Rashab said that today there's no Seder in Avedis HaBerurim, Chatoi V'Achol Chatoi V'Shsi. Just grab what you can. What does that mean? Years ago, Chassidim worked on themselves and their Avedis of self-refinement in a much more structured way. It was like a person, Lahavdil, who was becoming a doctor, he knew that there's a certain amount of years you do this and a certain amount of years you do that. And then eventually you become a doctor or anything else. So in the same way, spiritually, it wasn't stam. There was, we just had in the Hayyam Yom, but a chassid who spent years preparing himself to go into Yechidus, and then he spent years after that to internalize the Yechidus, and then he came home. In other words, the chassidim worked on themselves for years and years and years until they got to certain places. So therefore, one would think, and many times in those days it was really true, that there are certain things you don't do unless you're at that level. Everything has to follow an order. First you get to this point, and then you can go to the next point, and then you go to the next point, and only then could you go to the highest point. But you can't go to that point before this. So there are certain things where the Rebbe, people would write to the Rebbe that I'm not on the level to do this, I'm not on the level to do that. And one basic example would be Miftzayim. I'm not on the level to go out and tell other people to improve their lives. I have to improve my own life first. I myself know that I'm not the way I could be or I should be. There's so much that I have to demand of myself. Can I go out there and tell other people what to do? In fact, there's such a phrase in Gemara, "Kshayt atzmecha," first improve yourself, then you'll improve others. So the Rebbe tells us today there's no such thing as a Seder. Anything good that comes to your hands, anything good that you can accomplish, just do it. So for example, if a person, one day, everyone has their days, their ups and their downs. Some people have more ups than downs, some people more downs than ups. But if you belong to the human race, you probably have ups and downs. There's a story of a famous chassid that he once said that before he learned chassidus, he said, it was like a picture. Picture on the wall doesn't change. If you draw the picture smiling, he's always smiling. If you draw the picture sour, the guy is always sour. But a Lebedik, a person who's alive, he couldn't say a rage, he couldn't pronounce the R sound. So he used to say, which means he crawls in, he crawls out, but eventually he gets out. Meaning to say, he has his ups and he has his downs, and eventually he goes up. So everyone has his ups and his downs. And sometimes a person is in an up, and you're inspired, and you want to do something, and then a thought comes to you and says, what's the point in doing this? You're not going to be able to be consistent with it. You're not going to do it all the time. Today you're in a good mood. Today you're on a high. Big deal. So the Rebbe tells us, there's no Seder in Avedis HaBerurim. If there's something good that comes to your hand, today you're inspired, today you're up to doing it, do it. What will be tomorrow will be tomorrow. And this is also along the same lines. Here a person says, I have one rega, one moment that I can turn that moment into Eretzel. I don't know what will be next moment. I don't know if I'll be up to it. I don't know if I'll be able to accomplish it tomorrow, after tomorrow. But if a person takes this rule, Machdo Eretz Yisrael, whether it's a moment, a small unit in time, or if it's a small unit in space, nevertheless, you should do it. Or this Oishis Pshutus, translating this in simple words, as we're standing right before the Gula, every Yid has to get himself used to Gula. And he has to put himself into a state of mind and a frame of mind of Gula. How does he do that? By transforming his personal day into Gula Dika day. And make his personal place into Eretz Yisrael by doing his Avodah in such a way. The Rebbe concludes that everyone should publicize this Hayrah, Magda Eretz Yisrael, to his own family, to his relatives, and of course to his own students, and to everybody that he can possibly reach. And he should speak with Dvarim HaYetzim and Alev, speak from the heart, and then it will surely accomplish what it has to. But Negei L'Peil, right after Shabbos is over, if Mashiach would Chas V'Shalom not come, and it's still necessary, he should publicize everything that's been said here all over in a way that you can do it after Shabbos, Magda Eretz Yisrael, and he should continue to publicize this Hayrah also in the following days until Mashiach will come. And then we'll have Magda Eretz Yisrael in a literal sense as it says, Eretz Yisrael will spread out to the whole world. And here the Rebbe gives Heiraz Benagei to the 9 days. Right now we're this Shabbos, the Shabbos of Orchem Ov. So Menachem Ov, so that Shabbos Menachem Ov, the Rebbe spoke about the Heiraz, that it's a time to make Siyumim, every one of the 9 days to make a Siyum. And the Rebbe says one of the reasons why we should make a Siyum is because we look for all sorts of ways, in a permissible way, that we should add Simcha in these days. Because by adding Simcha, that's how we're able to reveal what's really hidden in these days, that it's really days of Simcha, the Simcha of the Geula, and by doing that we transform the Golus into Geula. Mirotzen, as even before these days come, we should already see the fulfillment of this promise, Yom Ma'elu Yehovcha L'Sasin L'Simcha L'Meidim Tevim. And just to point out something which maybe many people spoke about it or noticed it, but Rebbe always points to things that are happening in the world, that it helps us sometimes see how the world is changing. And we know that even though it looks like you can explain it politically, this, that, but really it's something spiritual that's happening. And here, what happened here in America is something very unusual. Dafka, the last few days, it happened around Yud Beis Tammuz time. And Dafka mentioned it last week in the Wednesday night class, but that was before the real big tumult. That there was a person, actually a person who claimed that he's an atheist. And this person was very upset that his daughter, Nebach, has to hear the word God in the classroom. She's not, chas v'shalom, obligated to say it. But she has to hear the way other people are saying that they're under God. And therefore he fought it in court that it's unconstitutional. And as a result of that, what came out of that was mamish a so-called a political frenzy. The politicians and the White House and the president himself all came out and they made a mecha, basically protested that this country is under God and we all believe in God and we're going to fight this ruling. And it was a ruling of a court. The court ruled that it's unconstitutional to say the Pledge of Allegiance and to say the word under God. And basically, this is something which the Rebbe asked for so many times, that in the schools there should be a moment of prayer, a moment of silence, and unless we bring God into the picture, there's no way that the country could be the way it's supposed to be. And as we're getting closer to Mashiach, and this is a result of 9/11. 9/11 is a negative thing that happened, Inyan of Helen Behester, a concealment. But one of the things, there's no doubt that it's part of the concealment that's going to lead to Geula. But one of the things we see that it brought out, because they all say, if not for that 9/11, it never would have gotten God wouldn't have gotten so much attention. But right now, he got a lot of attention. And basically, that all the top people in the country are all saying, in the name of the whole country, that this is a country that we believe in God. And that's part of what Geula is all about. The whole world, all the goyim, will announce and proclaim that they believe in the Eibishter. So the Eibishter, and I'm sure you heard this, it was pointed out that the day that they made this big protest, all the congressmen stood on the steps of the White House, and they all said the Pledge of Allegiance. When it came to the words under God, they shouted with all their koyach, and this display happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz. And Tovshin and Aleph, which was the last sikha the Rebbe gave Shavuos B'Tammuz, the Rebbe said and spoke about this Nakud. They said that on the dollars it says, in God we trust. And trust is even more than amuna. We trust. And the Rebbe said he's giving out $3, there should be a chazaka in this inyan.